Today's show is brought to you by School Spirit Vending. School Spirit Vending has a hassle-free, year-round fundraising program for schools. You can learn more at schoolspiritvending.com.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
In today's show, I talk with David Beard, an amazing guy and somebody who's in my Tuesday night mastermind. We're going to talk about why young teachers are so impressive, his definition of being great, why he's better for making mistakes. And like I said, he's in the mastermind, so he's going to share a little bit what his experience has been like, and you'll be able to understand that too. So thanks again for listening to the show. I don't take it for granted, and I hope you enjoy it. Hey there, Better Leaders. I am really excited today to connect with my buddy, David. He's in my Tuesday night mastermind group, and I'm so thankful that we've connected in that way because he's an amazing guy. He's awesome. You're going to love this episode so much. David is in his third year as a middle school assistant principal for the Solanco School District just outside Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We practiced the pronunciations before the show. How'd I do so far?
It's perfect, man.
All right, good, good. He's currently part of the Pennsylvania ASCD Emerging Leaders Program, and prior to his current position, he taught middle school, PE, and coached in Maryland. He and his wife, Amy, have twin boys that will soon be five and a little girl that just turned three. So, David, thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Thank you, Daniel. I'm like giddy. This is pretty exciting.
You're giddy. I'm giddy. This is amazing. So I have so much fun connecting with you in the group on Tuesdays. And, you know, I got a wish list of folks that will be on this show. And you've been on that list for a minute. So finally, you have signed up and I'm excited to connect.
Great.
Hey, buddy. So let's start. You know, I do this with every guest, but what inspired you to pursue a career in education?
I kind of fell into it. I was an athlete growing up in like sports. That's what I loved. I went to college and I walked on as a wrestler, and I didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to be around sports. So I actually, you know, got started in a major with athletic training. And I remember I was sitting down after the first semester, you know, I was taking gen eds the first semester. I was sitting down with my academic advisor, and he was just like a good old boy. We were talking sports, and he said, "Dude, you don't really want to do this, do you?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "You want to coach and be around kids and stuff, right?" I said, "Well, I do like that." And he's like, "And you want to wrestle?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, then you need to be like a PE teacher or something." I said, "Okay." So then from that time on, that's what I started doing. And then I did a lot of coaching. I was running camps. I was just good at it. I liked working with kids. I related to them well. And, you know, the rest is history. So I never really aspired to be a teacher. You know, nobody probably would have thought I would have ever worked with kids because I wasn't like a model student or anything. I just love watching people grow. I love helping people become great. No, so that's always motivated me.
That makes sense. And I'm curious, you know, was your transition to teacher to admin similar, where maybe the principal looked at you teaching and said, "You don't really want to do this, do you?"
No, it probably took about, you know, I'm so impressed by young teachers when they come in and they just hit the ground running. Because when I got started, I mean, man, I was a kid, you know, I was 22 and I was an idiot. So I look back on where I was and where I've come, it's so different. But really what it was is probably after about 5 years, I met my wife is what it was. And then I just got more serious about life. I started doing other things. And then I just started looking around. I was like, whoa, this can be better. This can be better. This can be better. I started reading books and, you know, growing spiritually, mentally. So then I just got to a point where I was starting all these intramural programs and doing all kinds of county leadership stuff. And I was in Maryland at the time, and I just got to a point where I kept hitting my head on a ceiling because I was a phys ed teacher. I mean, you're really limited. So I said, okay, what's next? And I just started taking classes. I got a, you know, curriculum and instruction master's degree. I wanted to make more money. I've always been motivated by, you know, just what can I do to get to the next step? I want to grow. Like, I love that. So as I was going through the process, I just started developing the desire. And then, you know, I just started talking differently. I was thinking differently. And one day somebody turned to me and said, "You would make a good assistant principal." And boom, you know, they nominated me. I was nominated for Teacher of the Year in my county. And it was just kind of like overnight. All of a sudden, I was just like this teacher leader. But I wasn't when I started, and I didn't have aspirations of being one. It just kind of happened because I was willing to go through the process, I think, and grab a hold of people that I thought were awesome and good at their jobs, and I tried to follow them. So,
what's that idea about growth? Like, why does that pull at you so much, you think?
I don't know. That's a great question. I think, you know, I look at certain people and it's I love the becoming stories, you know, the pursuit of happiness story and, you know, stories of coaches that take people from like zero to great. Because I didn't grow up with like everything I would have wanted in life. And I think what it stems from is that the fact that I can have whatever I want in life and I can help others have that just by, you know, being a great leader, being a great teacher, educator, that's awesome. Like that, you can give anybody the gift that they want. So that's a good question. I've never actually thought about that. So yeah, I think just the ability to become whatever you want to become if you work hard enough, because I've got a great work ethic, and the ability to help others get to that level too, it's pretty awesome. I mean, there's nothing else in the world that you can have anything you want if you work hard enough, and you can, you know, I tell my kids that every night. You can be anything you want, have anything you want, do anything you want.
Exactly. You know, and the part you talk about too, the value you get from giving back and seeing people develop. That's why what I do with the blog, the podcast, and more intentionally and more focused with you, right, in the Tuesday group and the Thursday mastermind group, I see people growing in front of me like weeds, like crazy. And that, oh my gosh, it almost keeps me up at night, right? Because it's just so neat to see the group bond, connect, and really dig into tough leadership questions and come out, you know, a better leader. That's why it's called that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
So David, how would you describe your leadership style and how'd you develop this style?
I don't know. It's probably like a mishmash of a bunch of things. I would say I'm a servant leader for sure, but maybe more than that, like I'm just in the trenches with people. You know, I try to lead from the front. You know, people will do half of what you do. People have taught me that as a coach. Other leaders have taught me that. And I'm just always trying to learn new things that make other people great. So I love, like I said, like we just talked about, I love watching people grow. So I want to develop other leaders. My goal is to make everybody better than me at something, because you don't have to be the expert. I'm not the expert, and I know that. And I think I'm transparent. That's gotten me a long way in 3 years, just openly admitting I have no idea. I don't know. Let's figure it out together. And then I work my butt off. So I don't know what that leadership style is called. But I think I developed it just because I love to work hard and I love to help other people grow. So, you know, if that means serving other people, I'll serve until I can't walk anymore. You know, I'll do whatever I can to help people become great.
Yeah.
And I really mean that. Like I feel like there's so many cliches, because sometimes I say certain things and I feel like it sounds like a cliche, you know, because like leaders say that stuff all the time. And I do think they mean that. But like that is what drives me. I don't want certain things that come out of my mouth that just sound like, you know, you're answering it to sound a certain way. Like like you said, it keeps me up at night. Like I almost get emotional thinking about it.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Watching people become excellent, awesome, like love what they do. Like it's special. It is awesome.
Well, it's like, it's when you notice that potential in somebody and you speak it over them. And, you know, I've connected that to you quite a bit. You mentioned that a lot in terms of kids and students that might be looked over, and how based on, you know, kind of where you've come, your upbringing, your experiences as a kid, you focus sometimes on some students that have been overlooked for some reason, but you could see their greatness in them. And you just need to sometimes speak it into them, right? The words have so much power. And then the kid's like, really? Me? You know, and they meet that expectation that you have for them. So I could see how you like that with your staff as well. And just seeing folks develop, because there is, I mean, what is more special than seeing somebody realize or exceed their potential?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you can get people to that level, then you have developed an organization of people that are, they're going to change the world. Right. I mean, that's what I speak. And I'll tell kids that in my office too. Yeah. I had a kid tell me that the other day. He said, "You're the first person that's ever said that." And I don't know if he really meant that, but like maybe I'm the first person that's told him that sounded like I believed it. And I think that's really what he meant, you know, because it's the way you say something to somebody too. It's not just saying right. It. They have to feel that belief, that passion.
Authenticity.
Yep. Yeah. Definitely. Yep.
I want you to define great, because you talked about developing people, helping them become great. But what does that even mean?
You have some really good questions.
Hey, these aren't even the ones I sent you, right? I mean,
no, they're not. I know. That's why I'm like, I'm not even prepared for this. Off the top of my head, I think, you know, my background's athletics, so I think of coaches. I think going past where you believe that, where they believe that they're capable of going. Like, I think that I'm achieving greatness right now, because never in a million years would I have ever thought that I'd be in the position I'm in. And in my nature is I'm just not where I want to be. So when you help other people become great, like, you know, so you have somebody that's a teacher. Well, they get into teaching because they probably think they want to work with kids. It's a fun job. You know, it's pretty good hours to get summers off. Honestly, I'm just speaking from where I came from. That's what you think. Well, then, you know, you help them become great, because then they actually start to understand that they can make a difference and inspire people. And then they go above and beyond, and they start, you know, doing some extra things, and they learn on their own. Maybe they join a mastermind, or, you know, they lead at a conference, or they develop their own, you know, strategies, and they go and present them, and they change something. So they never would have probably predicted that when they started, but they've gone past where their own expectations were for themselves. And then they become even greater, because, you know, the process doesn't stop. Like, success is a journey. So I think taking somebody past where they believe that they're capable of.
I like that as a quote too. The process doesn't stop. Success is a journey. So, hey, this tough question I did prep you for, and I love to hear it from all the guests. But David, what would you consider your worst leadership mistake, and what did you learn from it?
That is a tough question, because I don't know if I've had one mistake. I mean, I make a lot of mistakes all the time. There isn't one I honestly look back on that I'm kind of like, oh, that was stupid. Because every single time you make one, like, I'm better for it. And I think if people aren't making mistakes, then they're messing up because they're not doing that much. They're afraid. Like, that's a fear of failure. So, you know, some things that I was thinking of, a big one is there's times where I still think like, okay, like tough is that I'm only in my third year, and you're addressing something that your gut feeling is telling you that isn't right. And you're slow to move on it because you don't have the confidence, right? Or, you know, it's going to be a little contentious or fight. So not making that move quick enough, I think that's been a huge leadership mistake for me. Because the bottom line is, you get the facts, you talk to people that know more than you do, and then you do it. You know, you just jump and you figure it out as you go. But I would say that still plagues me a little bit, just not addressing stuff as quickly. And it, you know, it can, I'm not just talking, it could be teachers, it could be students, it could be parents. And it stems from the confidence that I may still have in myself sometimes. So, you know, anybody that's in a leadership position, somebody saw something in us.
Sure.
And they hired us. They hired us for our thought process and the way that we think. And actually, now that I'm saying that out loud, I'm starting to think another mistake I make sometimes is you feel like people should know what you know. You know, like I get frustrated because I don't feel like, you know, why did they do that? How did they not understand that? Well, I put myself in their shoes, you know, 12 years ago when I started teaching. I didn't know that either. So how can I expect them to understand that? You know, and it's so obvious to you and me because we're in a mastermind. You know, we read on a regular basis all these great books, and we talk about things openly, leadership stuff. But I'm not even the same person 6 months ago as I am now. So I can't expect that right away. And so I think that I'm too quick to just, you know, make a blanket statement about somebody or decision or gut feeling. You got to step back sometimes.
Yeah, it's good. I'm glad you brought up the reading part too, in terms of the mastermind, because today the mastermind that I participate in, the one that I invest in, right, in myself, with you from the top, one of the members shared an article. And so I'm stealing that, and I'm going to put it in this Sunday's weekend resource that I send to the email list. You can subscribe right through the website, betterleadersbetterschools.com. But this one was about, what does Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, and Oprah, what do they all have in common besides being ridiculously successful? Part of it was that they block off a minimum of 5 hours a week to personal development, aka reading, because you develop these new skills, these new ways of thinking. It's going to accelerate your leadership development, accelerate whatever type of, you know, action, whatever type of goal you're working toward, that's a huge part of what we do, right? We're going to discuss books, and then we got the hot seat. But, you know, the article even discussed people like, I think, Mark Cuban, and man, there were so many people, I can't list them all, but some of them, it's a minimum of 1 hour a day. Some of them was like 2 to 3 hours of reading time per day just to get better. You know what I mean? So speaking of like routines and rituals, David, I'm curious, what does the first hour of your day look like? And do you have any type of morning routine or ritual?
I call it chanting to myself. I do a lot of self-talk. So I do that every morning. And then really, I don't do my reading in the morning. I'll do it either in the afternoon or in the evening. Honestly, just because I don't get up early enough. And that's something we've talked about a lot. But what I've realized is when you find that time, you have to make it sacred. So reading or whatever it is, for me, self-talk, I listen to a podcast every morning, something, you know, from a pastor I like, or I listen to yours pretty regularly. And then I have a couple that I just think are fun, because I think that mental time, and I do it in the car, I have about a half hour drive to work, that mental time to just like listen to somebody else and get out of your own head, for me, it does me a world of good, you know? So I just enjoy that time, and I get my coffee, I put some good on that I enjoy listening to, and then I just relax. I go through some prayer in the morning too. Yeah, but there's not that much to it for my morning ritual. But the fact is, I do have things that I have to do every day, or I don't feel comfortable going to bed, because, you know, I mean, you only have 24 hours in a day. Everybody does. So the people that are achieving greatness, they're still able to get it in. Like, you can right. look at any aspect of life, all the leaders you just mentioned, the best athletes in the world, the best coaches, whatever. They find way to do it. So it's not impossible. And I think, you know, time gets away from us. You know, another book I like, and I'm going to jump ahead to one of your questions. I'm sorry, I'm kind of jumping ahead because I think it flows into it.
This is your show, David. It's your show.
You always ask, what's one class that you think should be in schools? And we read, you know, so many books in schools, great books, you know, books about that are classics. But there's a lot of classic personal development books, too, that every single leader you mentioned, I guarantee you, has on their bookshelf that they've read, right? There's certain classics, How to Win Friends and Influence People,
yep.
Think and Grow Rich, The Greatest Salesman in the World, Magic of Thinking Big, all these things. And man, if we can find a way to get kids thinking like that at a young age, like maybe stuff not so heavy and tough for them at that level, maybe something more like Who Moved My Cheese by Spencer Johnson, you know, fun little books. If we can get them thinking like that at a younger age, like just imagine the leaders we've created, because it's not a secret. The Stranger's Secret, right? Earl Nightingale. This stuff is not a secret. And I forget where I was going with this, but I think of all this stuff. And it wasn't until I started reading these books that I all of a sudden I turned a corner, like I changed.
Yeah. Well, you were connecting this to the class that you wish was offered at schools.
Right. And you were talking about some before that, which I forget. But the class I would pick would be that, and taking action on it, right? So The Greatest Salesman in the World, they talk about there's 10 scrolls. I don't know if you've ever read that, but there's 10 scrolls that you're supposed to read one scroll a day for 30 days. Like going through those actions and going through those fun little exercises and just challenging yourself based on the information that these people have already written down. Like, this is a blueprint for success. It really is. It changes you, and it changes people. I'll come back to whatever my thought was. I'm sorry. I got off track. Oh, yeah. So you were talking about that. One of the books I was thinking of was The Habits of the Rich. That was another book that I've read. And so, I mean, the dude has pulled all these the richest people in the United States. I think his name was Tom Corley. And, you know, one of the habits that he came up with was these people all read, like, personal development stuff, right? They're not reading for pleasure. They're reading to grow. And so there's a focused effort that's what I was talking about. The time is sacred. You have to make that time sacred every day. Like if you are a true leader and you're on that journey of success, like you got to become obsessed with it. I wish I had a better word for it, but that's what I am. I'm obsessed with becoming better every day, short of nothing else. You know, if there's nothing else in my life, that's what whether it's being a dad, in my spiritual life, physically, and I fail almost every day at something, but through that failure, I'm getting better.
I love that. I like that idea of just being obsessed, you know, taken over by this desire to improve, which is great because at the end of the day, you're going to be serving your community at such a high level because you put in so much time for yourself. When I was in Chicago and I used to go to this conference, the Global Leadership Summit, the guy who started it, Bill Hybels, has a saying that I love, and it's everybody wins when a leader gets better. Nothing could be more true. And that's exactly what you described through Habits of the Rich and all these other books in the article that I shared. Listeners' books will be linked up in the show notes. The article will also be linked up in the show notes too if you want to check that out. As a principal, I know one of the biggest challenges that I face is figuring out how to raise more money for my school so I can impact my students and help them get the resources, the programs that they desperately need. That's where School Spirit Vending comes in. And I know the owner, Matt Miller. He's an excellent guy. He was a guest on episode 5. And I'm encouraging you, the listener, to check out School Spirit Vending in their hassle-free year-round fundraising program at schoolspiritvending.com. Before we move on, David, I'm curious, you know, you talked about there's a few things you want to get done within 24 hours. It's not so much like your first hour of the day. So what are those things that need to get done for you to feel satisfied, I guess, with the time you put in?
I have certain things at school that I want to get done. And these are, you know, some things that are kind of like I'm supposed to do every day, right? So I'm supposed to be in 5 classrooms a day. So that's one of them. I want to read every day. I need to do something physically and work out. I like to spend time with my kids doing something to help them grow. So we have like little fun flashcards, like I'm talking just simple academic stuff. And then I want to play with them too. I have some affirmations I say to myself and then some stuff I say to my kids too. And then I want to listen to something. So really what I do is I just create a checklist. And like as the time comes up, once you've done these things enough, like the opportunity's there and you just do it. You don't have to think too much about it because you're always thinking, you're like, oh my gosh, there it is. And you just, you go for it, you know, cause I've done them so many times now. But the one, you know, there's always one that gets you. Like at different times of your life, there's always one that gets you. And right now it's the working out one. I was crushing it for a while. And now it's like, you know, I go to bed, like, especially like you get in the shower and your shirt's off, you look in the mirror and you're like, oh dude. Oh. And I know that's an area you're crushing right now. So that motivates me. But yeah, there's always one area. So like, I am obsessed. So my wife's just like, just go to bed. Like, I just got to do 25 pushups, just something. So those are ones that I write down every single day. You know, so I've got things at home with my family, and then I've got things at school that I want to do.
I like that you have a checklist too, and don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but we're going to be reading this book that came super highly recommended called The Checklist Manifesto. So I think you're going to like that one when we get into it in the mastermind. So you mentioned affirmations a little bit. So that's a huge reason why I wanted you on this show. Besides, I just enjoy talking to you. I love the affirmations that you share with your kids. And I'm curious if you'll just tell us the story of how that began, right? And, you know, if you feel comfortable sharing the affirmation with the listeners to give them a sense of what you tell your kids every single night. But I mean, listeners, like, you're going to get fired up. You pull over to the side of the road if you're driving to work. And if you're running, you're about to run a little bit faster. And if you're just washing dishes at home, you're going to wash those dishes a little bit harder, a little bit cleaner, because these affirmations kick so much butt.
The thing is, it's almost weird to do now. Like, I do it every night with my kids. So it's, and I have twin boys that are, I think you said, yeah, they're almost 5 now. So I've done it every night I've been home with them. And I'm not home every night, you know, because sometimes I'm working later or something. But every night I've been home with them since they've been born. And I was even trying to do it. I was trying to do it. This is funny. I was trying to do it when my wife was pregnant, you know, and I knew I was having the twins. And like, you know, I mean, your first kids, like, I was going to be the perfect parent before I had kids. You know, my kids aren't going to watch TV. They can do pushups every night from the time they're 2. You know, we're going to start running when they're 3. And like, that just stuff just goes out the window. But so I was all pumped up, and I would say these at my put my face right to her belly, and I start saying these, you know, certain things to them. You're a champion, you're a winner. And I would just go off, and she's like, this is getting weird, you gotta stop. So I had to wait till they were born before I really started it. But I started doing it because I know you're a Dave Ramsey guy too, and And so, I pick stuff up from other people. I heard Dave Ramsey say, and he's raised, I think he's got three kids, very successful, at least two very successful daughters, one that works with him now. But I heard him say one time, and it was just, I think, just on one of his shows, he said that every night he would tell his kids, he would say, Ramsey girls are pretty strong, tough, smart, successful, or something like that. He had like two or three things, and I liked it. And I think I even heard his daughter say something like, and I grew up believing that, right? So then just stuff I've read, Think and Grow Rich is a huge book that I love. And just the ability, I call it brainwashing. And I know that's a negative term, but you think about all the negative stuff we hear every day. I want to clean their brains and I want to control what goes in it. So before they go to bed every night, that's what I do. And it's not always perfect. I'm exhausted half the time I'm doing it. My wife just wants to get them in bed because they're running around like throwing underwear or whatever. Just it's chaotic. It really is. But I do it every night. And half the time they're still kind of like yelling the other half the time. But I don't care because I'm going to get it in their mind. They hear it, And then there's some nights they look at me and they're like nodding their head. Like we make eye contact when I'm saying it. And those are the special nights. But, it started out kind of slow. It was just like, Beard boys are strong, tough, smart, successful. Beard girls are pretty strong, tough, smart, successful. And then I just started adding pieces. You're a champion, you're a winner, you're a superstar. God made you special. You can do anything you want, have anything you want, be anything you want, go anywhere you want. You're the best at anything you want to be the best at. You're competitive, aggressive, competent. You're a leader, visionary, champion, and a winner. You're persistent, consistent, persuasive. You're aggressive. You're strong, tough, smart, successful. You're kind, sweet, sincere, trustworthy, honest, tender, loving, respectful. Respectful, dependable, accountable, reliable. You have charisma. You've got a sense of magnetism. People are drawn to you. Every day and every way you get better and better. People love you, trust you, and respect you. You've got a great sense of humor. You make people smile. You inspire. You motivate. You lead. You are incredible. You fail forward. People love you, trust you, and respect you. You blow through goals. Nothing slows you down. I love you. I'm proud of you guys. Good night. And then I repeat stuff sometimes. I go off on different tangents. Different things pop into my head, but it grew into like I can go on for 3 minutes, just bouncing off from different things. And like, I get pumped up when I do it, it's a special time every single night. I love doing it. So yeah, that was a lot of it. That was some of it. I'm sorry if it took too long, but I it's fun.
It is fun. And I appreciate you sharing it with the listeners. So if I hear you correctly, there's basically a framework that you have, but as your mind, as your spirit leads, you will go off on different tangents that you think the kids need to hear at times too, if I'm hearing you correctly.
Yeah, yeah. So I've got you're a leader, visionary, champion, winner. God made you special. And that's kind of its own little bubble. And then there's the piece about having charisma. People are drawn to you, like working with other people. You have a good sense of humor. And then there's the kind of other skills like compassion, understanding, loving, trusting, respectful. So they're kind of in my head, they're kind of in different bubbles. And I added some recently. The piece is about failing forward. You blow through obstacles. Nothing gets in your way.
Yes, yes.
I added that probably about, 3 months ago, because I saw this Facebook. It was like a video on Facebook. I'm going to pronounce his name wrong, but the power or why ask why or the power why, Simon Sinek.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was on and he was talking about the generation, whatever generation X or Y or whatever generation is up, grown up right now, and they're 19, 20, 21 years old. He talked about how they were told, you can always do anything you want. You can have anything you want. And he basically was saying what I say to my kids. And he said, and the reality is they can't without failure. And they don't know how to handle failure. So I love that piece too. And I'm like, wait, I don't just want to create kids that think they can. I want to create kids that can, and they can persevere, and they can blow through obstacles, they dream big. So I added that piece too. And, I don't know. How can you go wrong by saying that stuff, right? Like every morning I wake up and I say every day and every way you get better and better. And I say it 25 times to myself. And I know it's insane, but I try to do it in the mirror, because if you can make yourself believe it, you act like it. The power of the brain is incredible. And they talk about that in Think and Grow Rich. Like, if your brain will do what you tell it to do, it's just a computer.
Wow.
So
it's every day, any way you get better and better.
Yeah. Every day and every way I get better and better. Yep. And, and that's another one of your questions you sent me. If you could put any quote on a marquee, that's what it would be. And I have put that quote on the marquee. And I do say that to kids sometimes.
Are you serious?
That's awesome. I have. Yeah. My custodian goes nuts because, you know, we've got the old school ones that you got to put the letters up. And he's like, why do you always have to have these quotes? I'm like, it's got to go up, man. It's important. People need to see it, you know? So,
hey, man, it's going up on the marquee starting tomorrow in my school.
Yeah. So
every day, every way, I get better and better. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. And the listeners, you know, I want to encourage you, go rewind the last 5 minutes that we're talking about these affirmations. They're so powerful. And we read a book in the Mastermind Miracle Morning. I've done some videos on social media, but, you know, the author, Hal Elrod, has this acronym, SAVER. Silence, affirmation, visualization, exercise, reading, and scribing, which is journaling. But going to the affirmations part, that's the thing. And a lot of podcasts I listen to, biographies I read, successful people over and over again seem to do affirmations. And it might seem a little out there for some. You know, I'm a big fan of, I'm forgetting the name, so I'll come back to that one. But reading affirmations can sometimes feel a little awkward even, you know, in front of the mirror. But like you said, David, you do it enough, your brain actually starts to believe it. Mm-hmm. Every day in every way, I get better and better. That's good for you, right? As a man, as a leader.
Right.
But listeners, can you even imagine the impact he's having on his kids by saying this affirmation, proclaiming it over them, right? Oh my gosh. Every single night that he's home with them, these guys are, I mean, basically you're probably raising like a president, a vice president, you know, Supreme Court justice, who knows? But gosh, that is just so, so powerful.
It is super weird when you first do it. And I mean, it's weird for me to do it just with you, you know, because this isn't my normal routine. And, like when I do it with them now, like it's fun, like I'm bouncing around and I have fun with it. But I think also it can't be just going through the motions. And I have done that. When you do that, you have to feel it and you got to really say it with passion. You got to say that you believe it because that's how they perceive it, right? I mean, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. Well, it's both. It is what you say and it is how you say it in anything. So, you know, when you do this and when you say it to yourself, you can't just, it's not just a routine. It's not a box to check off. If you're going to check off the box, and I do, because that's how I do things. I do actually check off a box when I do certain things every day is what I mean. But like you got to just focus on that moment and just like get into it, because I really think that's where the power comes. That's where it's at, you know, that's when your brain believes it, because emotion, there's a power to emotion, right? Like that's your body reacts to emotion.
Absolutely. And in the book I was thinking about, I'm going to mess up the title. It's either See You at the Top or View from the Top, something like that. But it was by Over the Top. That's what it is. Zig Ziglar.
Yeah. See you at the Top, I think. Yep.
He has affirmations in there. I wrote them down and I would say them in the mirror. It just feels so funny doing it. And now I've massaged it and turned it into more, you know, something that reflects me. But gosh darn, that is some of the most powerful parts of my day when I'm faithful to doing it.
Yeah, I'm one of the books, The Greatest Salesman in the World. I get, before I even heard Dave Ramsey talk about that, before I had kids, I read that book and I did the scrolls. So he's got these 10 scrolls and there's a spiritual aspect to that book too. But the 10 scrolls are nothing but just incredible. Like, you know, in some of it's written in old language, so it's a little tougher to say, but you read that out loud. Like I was a different person when I read that stuff. Like it changed me. And man, something so easy is just telling yourself something. Like it's just a simple thing that anybody can do. You know, there's not any pain to it. It's great personal growth. It's not like going out and doing a workout where you feel like you want to throw up. Man, I'll chant to myself for an hour over going doing an hour long run any day of the week. You know, you think of like how easy it is and how simple it is, but so many people just don't do it. And you know what they do goes in their head then? All the other stuff, right?
Garbage. Yep.
And not even stuff that you think is garbage, but it is. The news, other people's negative personalities or whatever. Like, yeah, it's so important.
Hey, so I do have a few questions in closing, but right before we get there, I just want to hear about masterminds from your perspective. I have an idea of what I'm trying to accomplish and what I want them to be. But since you're a very engaged member and you really offer a lot of value every week to the group from insights and just what you share, you know, how would you describe the mastermind experience to listeners?
It's awesome. You know, you're on the hot seat. So I'm on the hot seat one time, probably every 6 weeks, every 5 weeks. And when I first thought of that, I was thinking, man, I want to be part of this. And I don't even like, this was my initial, I'm just going to be honest with you. I was thinking, man, dude, maybe I just want to pop in on the ones where I'm on the hot seat, because then people can help me solve my problems. Because it is like, you know, so I'm an hour ahead of you. So, you know, you guys, it's 8 o'clock. I'm in Pennsylvania, so it's 9 o'clock. And like, you get tired or whatever, but I get just as much out of hearing other people share that I do when I share, maybe more sometimes, because one, it gives me confidence that, like, you get lost inside yourself sometimes and you're thinking, oh my gosh, nobody else is going through this. This is terrible. Like, you know, you just play these stupid games in your head. And you hear everybody's successful. Everybody part of that group is successful. Like, they are, I mean, my gosh, incredible, incredible minds on part of our group. And you hear them sharing the same thing. So it kind of gives me confidence there. And I'm going to steal a quote from Steve at the top. With Zig Ziglar, you help enough people get what they want, you'll in return get what you want. And that's what it is. Like, you develop that servant's heart. Like, you really, you develop a bond with these people, and you're in it together. And, you know, you celebrate together, you know, you help them solve problems together. And there's some sad stuff too, right? I mean, there's stuff that, you know, people get upset about, that there are good, serious stuff going on in their lives, big problems. And, you know, you fight through that together too. So it's special. It really is. Like, I feel like I have, whatever we're at now, 6 friends. We just got one from Australia, you know, Clayton's on. So that he's one of my favorites, man. Just so awesome. It's just is so awesome. You can't find it anywhere else. Like, you can't go to a coffee shop and meet up with 6, you know, 6 leaders like that. Like, we're meeting with leaders all over the country and now the world. It's pretty awesome.
Cool. Yeah. No, it's been great for me. And I agree. I want to hit on the piece. Of course, there's people from around the world. And that's what makes it great. Because we meet virtually, we can have that happen. Clayton, I think it's like noon or 1 o'clock in Australia when it's 8 o'clock for me, 9 o'clock for you, 6 o'clock for Chris, who just joined from California. So shout out to him. April's new. Shout out to her. She's in New Jersey with Colin. So East Coast time. You guys are crazy over there. But that's the thing. Like, I was so frustrated wanting to get people together locally. And because of, I don't know if it's because of the kids and traffic and all these things, you know, there's excuses. Well, I'm like, forget it. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to make this blog, the podcast, connect with people that way. And then I'm going to create a space where it's safe, where you can really let down the veil and say, here's where I'm struggling, man. And I don't know what I'm doing and I need help. And people will help you, you know, and you're going to grow. And because it's the weirdest part is, because I went big with it and have people around the world, I have more connection. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Even though surrounded by people in the 3rd largest city, Chicago, and then the 4th largest city right now, Houston. But now that it's an international thing, I'm actually more connected because we're virtual. So yeah, that's pretty wild. But you know, I want to thank you for being in the group. Thank you to all the members. And I mean, I just get so much out of it. I'm rarely on the hot seat every now and then if there's a scheduling snafu or somebody can't make it or something like that. But I get so much out of it each week because I'm exposed to problems that I didn't even know existed, right? And now I have tools and ways of anticipating issues prior to me even having to go through it. And that helps me grow just by doing that.
Yeah. I get a ton out of you being on the hot seat too, because I mean, you are, you know, you've created this, you're the leader, like you're the reason I got started in it. So there's this perception of you, you know, being almost like perfect just because.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Well, we've all, yeah, I mean, we know that now. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, you've got your own podcast. Like, you're like a celebrity, right? Like, that's how I thought. And that I still think you're awesome. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
but
sure.
But what you realize is, like, you know, at the level you're at and the cool things that you're doing, like, you still have normal problems. Like, right? And you're still super successful. So it's, like I said, it just gives me a ton of confidence that, like, this is normal. What I'm going through is part of the journey. And, you know, I'm on the right track. So I love that part of it.
Cool. So let's wrap this up. Couple quick questions and then the big one at the end. What do you do for fun, David?
What I do for fun? I do a lot of cool things with my kids. And we just play. We love to wrestle. That's my background. So I love to coach. I coach the elementary program. I love movies too. Sometimes I just love decompressing and watching good movies. Superhero movies are my favorite. And I just saw Doctor Strange. Awesome.
Yeah, good, good. If you could be automatically good at something, what would it be?
Yeah, I think something that, like, I'd love to be a good singer. Like, I saw that question. I was okay. I just think it'd be, that's such a cool, fun skill to have. I would have serenaded my wife, you know, last night. Like,
yeah.
I just think that'd be cool. That's such a weird answer, but I was like, I don't even have a serious thing. Like, I wish I could be instantly good at. Like, I think I'd be a good singer. I'd make $1 million, like, selling a couple albums or whatever. That'd be cool.
That would be neat. You know, a little Frank Sinatra action coming your way.
Yeah.
So you made it, David. Here's the tough question at the end everybody gets. You're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by budget or resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you build your dream school, and what would be your top three priorities?
Oh, man. Personal growth for teachers, and you build a superstar team. You know, I relate it all back to sports. Like, you find the superstars, but maybe not the ones that are yet, but the ones that have the right mindset to become. I love college wrestling. Penn State's like the best team in the country right now. And the coach told me, I've met him a couple of times, and he said, like, I recruit a certain type of athlete. I don't recruit their skills. I recruit a certain type of people. So you got to get the right staff in place. And I would love to see a piece, you know, about personal development, self-confidence, student fitness, like building everything around building a kid, like just building them as a person. I'm not so much worried about, you know, what they can or can't do, but all about personal growth. It would all be about growth academically too. I mean, obviously, but just we're only focusing on them growing every single day, and then showing them where they haven't succeeded yet and where they're going, like, very focused. So other than that, I don't know what that looks like, but you know what I do? I think if you build the teachers right, I think they create it. I was thinking about that. I think they will create it for you, because, yeah, you know, you're creating leaders and people that are thinking right and, you know, reading and doing the right things. They'll solve the problems. They'll figure out the puzzle.
I love that last part there. It's so true. If you give teachers that space and develop them, they're going to build whatever that is, that great thing you're looking to build. You know, it's not about you, the leader. It's about your people and figuring out how to empower them, you know, to make it happen. I'm working with a really, really cool group at my school right now. We're calling them the TLC, the Teaching and Learning Committee. And shout out to DeAndre Weaver, episode number one of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. I learned that from him. And we're doing some really neat stuff at my school as a result, you know, with the same sort of model. So maybe I should do a podcast episode on that. But David, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice? And what is the best way to get a hold of you?
No, just, you know, have fun. I mean, we can get so strung up every single day on, you know, just the grind. And it's, I mean, like, I say that with my kids all the time. It's new people, you know, not new people, people that are having kids for the first time, like, take pictures, take videos, because you'll remember those fun moments, but it's a grind daily. Like, it's so hard, but you won't remember the hard stuff. So just enjoy that as far as your leadership journey. And you can find me, I mean, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter at Dave Beard _ on Twitter, David _Beard at Solanco.k12.pa.us. If there's ever anything I can do to help anybody, reach out. I love connecting with people.
Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and David. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com. Type David in the search bar. The show notes page will pop up where you'll get highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. David, thanks again for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Thank you, Daniel.
Better Leaders, thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Have you gotten value from today's show? Help me reach even more listeners by leaving a 5-star rating and review. Click the podcast artwork and press the Show Some Love link to leave an honest rating and review. A long, long time ago in a galaxy far away, patrons would sponsor artists to create something the patron valued. Would you consider becoming a patron of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast? If you found this podcast valuable, if the show has pushed your thinking about leadership, and if you've benefited in any way then I would be honored if you would become a sponsor. Sponsorship is easy. Head over to patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes to become a patron for as little as $1 a month. If you pledge 10 bucks a month, I'll send you one of my favorite leadership books every other month. That's patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes. Do you have a question or need some leadership advice? I want to connect with you. I read every email, tweet, snap that's sent to me. Links are in the show notes to connect via email and social media. Better Leaders, Better Schools is a proud member of the Edu Podcast Network, podcast for educators, podcast by educators. You can listen to more great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.